How would you feel if you had no taxes on anything that was under $150,000? Does it sound too good to be true? Well, let's look at what's happening. So I want to have this conversation, and he was actually explaining exactly what Trump's agenda is for people that ultimately want to remove taxes. The goal is to have smaller government and less taxes. So let's get into it and let's explore this conversation. This is the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick speaking specifically in a 30-minute interview, but we're going to go to the space that we want to about the possibility of not having taxes.
But it sounds like you're saying, trust us. And are you worried that at some point Americans are going to feel like there's a bunch of billionaires in Washington who are playing Russian roulette with our retirement?
$2 trillion deficits don't bother you at all. How could you ask me while we're running a $2 trillion deficit and not care? You're destroying the people who have run this country before are destroying the future for my children and my children's children.
Before we get into this whole $150,000 thing, we really need to put it in perspective, because everything that we're doing and everything that we're fighting for and everything that's going on with the Trump administration, y'all got to remember that Trump is in his 80s. He's in his 80s. And as spry as he is, you know, it's funny, because if you look at the difference between Trump and you look at the difference between Biden, and Trump does these interviews every day and he's available to the public and he's very, very much cognizant of what's going on and stuff like that. Honestly, we're not doing this for us. We're not going to be the ones that truly benefit from what's happening today and the sacrifices we made, which hasn't been made in a long time. We haven't had generations that actually held us down and made the sacrifices that was necessary in a long time. We are not the ones that are going to benefit. The people that are going to benefit is the generations that come after us, and they may not appreciate it, but it doesn't mean that we're not doing the things that's best for us. And it's funny, because we will sit here and say, okay, well, we got a $1 to $2 trillion deficit and we're paying $1 to $2 trillion in interest every single year. Every single year, somebody says, he's 78, he's 79. That's 80, bro. If you 38, 39, still talking about, yeah, man, I ain't even in my 40s yet. No, dog, you 40. You 40. You 28, 29, you 30. This is what we do. We round up. We round up, we round down. Somebody said, no, I'm telling you, no, I just, you know, I'm a, oh, man, I'm 31, 30. You in your 30s. We say, well, you in your 30s. If you get to 38, 39 years old, you 40, fam. You already there. We just haven't officially crowned you yet. You know what I'm saying? You 48, 49, you 50. 58, 59, 60. 69, 60. You that, bro. You that. We not going to sit here and be technical about it. He 80. He's 80. And so the people that benefit from it is the ones that's going to come after us. Trump has nothing to gain except for make sure that he save America from itself, which we needed somebody to make the tough decisions. We need a Thanos. We need a Thanos. I was a huge fan of Thanos. Now that we're more familiar with what's going on in the MCU, we realize that Thanos really was right. But we need a Thanos, because ultimately our planet is going to collapse on itself. Our debt is going to continue to destroy us, and there will be no country. You ain't got to worry about inflation. You ain't got to worry about nothing if we continue on the path that we're going on. 100%. You have to worry about nothing if we continue on the path that we're going on. Because people won't even blink. Oh, man, we got 1% or 2% inflation. That's nice. We got 1% or 2% inflation. That's nice. We ain't even tripping about it. They don't even blink. But then when we say, hey, man, we need to make the adjustment, no taxes on tips or something. What? Sounds too good to be true. We are in a crisis here in the United States of America. That's the facts.
I can't have a 50, 75. We have a $36 trillion deficit. And that we used to run deficits of $400 billion. Now $2 trillion, everybody's like, who cares? I tell you what, who cares? Donald Trump cares. And when we balance the budget, you know what that means? That means our deficits stop. Interest rates come smashing down. His goal is to have external revenue. You know, the way I think about it, we all are so used to paying taxes. We're so used to it. We have like Stockholm syndrome. You know, don't stop the Internal Revenue Service, God forbid. How about this? The rest of the world leans on our economy, breathes off our economy. Not only is our economy $29 trillion GDP, but we consume $20 trillion a year. We are the buyer of everybody's stuff. We buy everybody's stuff. So who's more important, the people who sell stuff or the people who buy stuff?
I thought that the customer was always right. I thought that it doesn't matter what you think if there are no customers. In UX, I used to tell people, listen, we can design the greatest app in the world, but if don't nobody care and don't nobody actually buy anything from it or don't nobody use the app, you might as well have not created it in the first place. So just as much as we need to understand the marketing, just as much as we need to understand the what we want from it, we have to look at it from the consumer's perspective. Because if the consumers don't like it, if the people that buy it don't like it, then the app is dead. And that's the part that we're starting to realize. This is the thing that I have people have conversations. Again, I'm letting my C-student brain work. This is the thing I talk about relationships. You know why guys be so afraid that their girl's going to leave them? Because they feel inadequate. They don't think that they're meeting expectations. They believe that she holds all the power in a relationship. You know why it's so easy for me to walk around with the confidence that I have? And people have always said, Anton, but what if she take half? You asking me that question actually shows me where you're at in your own personal relationship and your own journey within yourself. Because if you're the type of guy that is not so valuable and so awesome that it's impossible for her to leave because she knows that you are the best thing since sliced bread, then you have no leverage. You have no leverage in your relationship. Again, we're going to bring this all the way back down to our relationship with the world. You have no leverage. I don't worry about, oh man, she going to leave and take half, because she knows that even if she left, and you don't know what my situation is, you don't know if I got a postnuptial agreement, you don't know anything. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing at all. But even if, let's say hypothetically that she left and she took half, and I wouldn't even trip about it. I wouldn't even blink. You know why? Because I'm going to be worth 200 times that in 5 to 10 years. And meanwhile, you will be looking out the window like, dang, I should have stuck with it. And I can't believe I let that other chick and them other chicks out there take advantage of the space that I should have been in. I should have been right there with him. He giving that good loving to me. He the greatest man since sliced bread. He is. He's rich. He's successful. He's awesome. He's situationally aware. He coaches people. He really knows how to control the room and all of this stuff. What do you think is going to happen? What you think that they're going to be better off without you? That's a coping mechanism. But guys that generally is scared and is always pleading for a woman to not leave them is usually a guy that feels inadequate. But the minute that you start to become him, they're going to be begging you. They're going to be at your socks. They're going to be pulling at your drawers. They're going to say, you know what? You ain't never leaving me. You ain't never leaving me. And it's similar to what's going on with the United States of America and the rest of the world. At some point, we had to realize that, wait a minute, I'm him. We are him. Why are we cowering down and giving other people money to be our friends? That's basically what we're doing. We got the strongest military, the most advanced military in the world. We have all of the technology. We got all of the leverage. We got all of the buying power. We've been winning since the beginning of time. And we're sitting here fretting about whether or not somebody is going to still be our friend when we're paying them and we can actually save money if we cut off the dead weight and put it back into our own citizens and our own economy. At some point, you got to wake up and realize, you know what the scariest thing is for a woman, which is the scariest thing for another country that's been taking advantage of us for a long time, is when you realize that you really him. because she got a decision to make. So now she can embrace you and really ride the ride of what you're going to grow to become, or she can be scared that she's not adequate enough to still be with you when she doesn't meet the expectations. And that's the decision that these other countries are going to have to make, is that do you ride the ride? Do you ride the wave? Do you still rock out with the United States of America? Because businesses are coming here, and we finally woke up and realized, wait a minute, masculinity isn't toxic. Donald Trump isn't toxic. People aren't toxic because they actually stand up for American citizens. We're not just going to keep on giving all of this money to Ukraine and letting them continue this war to make other people rich that's not even inside of the United States of America. Wait. We got our own lumber. We got our own oil. We got our own steel mills. We got our own aluminum factories. And they only operating to where we only taking advantage of them at 16% of all of the aluminum and steel that we make inside of the United States of America. Why are we buying outside when I can do business with the people that's right next to me? And so at some point now, even against everybody else's wishes, because when I see all of these Democrats, I see these liberal women that continue to vote for Kamala Harris and the Democrats election after election after election, they're hoping that we don't wake up. Because if you wake up, then we're going to start evaluating people. We're going to start doing evaluations and spot checks to figure out, wait a minute, so are you adding value into my life or are you just a leech? When you go through your friends list, go through your phone. I tell people that's on coaching calls a lot of times, go through your phone and look at your friends list. Look at the people that you interact with on a regular basis. Look at the people that's in your group chats. Tell me, and I'm going to read these Cash Apps shortly, tell me, are these people that actually add value into your life, or are they dragging you down and you just loyal to them for the sake of saying that they're your friend? Because all they do is use you because you're the one that had the car when y'all was growing up. You're the one that got the money. You're the one that paid for all of the booze and the bottles when y'all go out. You always paying for dinner. Of course they're going to go to dinner with you because you are the one that's being taken advantage of. At what point do you then say, you know what? I don't want to be used anymore. I'm trying to figure out who adds value while I add value to them. How am I pouring into you and you pouring into me also? This is the United States of America. We're waking up and saying we are the best in the world. It's a privilege for you to do business with me. It's not my responsibility to make sure I subsidize your lifestyle.
So we are the buyer of everybody's commodities, products, goods and services. Everything comes from us, right? Let them pay a membership fee. We all understand that model. Let them pay. How about we, you and I, and every single person we know pay less? How about no tax on tips? How about no tax on overtime? How about no Social Security? How about all those things? These are the kind of thoughts that will change America. I know what his goal is. No tax for anybody who makes less than $150,000 a year. That's his goal.
So
and that's what I'm working for.
So you're saying when it looks chaotic.
She just missed the whole wave. He said Trump's real goal that he hasn't even discussed is no taxes for people that make under $150,000 a year. We should be so prosperous as a nation that we should be sharing in profits, growing, actually booming when it comes to our economies, not putting money in everybody else's pocket, not having fraud, waste, and abuse, not abusing our own American economy, creating jobs and creating a future for our for generations to come. And you shouldn't even be paying taxes on $150,000 a year or less. That is the goal. But they don't want you to have that conversation. The Democrats is dead set on censoring. They would never, ever have Howard Lutnick come up to their platforms to have this conversation at all. You would never see this on MSNBC. You would never see this on CNN. But then they'll walk around and say, it's the billionaire and billionaire class and the rich people need to pay their fair share. No, we just need to let Trump do what he's supposed to do.
And unpredictable from the outside that there actually is a master plan when it comes to these tariffs?
It is not chaotic. And the only one who thinks it's chaotic is someone who's being silly. He said reciprocal tariffs.
Nobody expected him to announce 50% tariffs this morning.
He needed to break some guy in Ontario who said he was going to tax American energy 25%. Mm. The president of the United States in the White House says, oh, no, you won't, and breaks him. in what? By a tweet and a truth. And you think that's chaotic? You know what I think that is? I think that is the thank God we have a president who's taking care of us. Because if you were in one of those states and you thought your energy prices were going to go up 25%, and you said, where's the president? And all of a sudden he came down like thunder to make that end, you'd say, cool. I'm glad that's the guy in the White House. And that's what we've got.
The president does seem like he's preparing the nation for some short-term pain. He calls it a disturbance. How much pain should Americans brace for? How much will inflation go up, and for how long?
Okay. If you balance the budget, it's not inflation. Tariffs do not create inflation. Printing extra money creates inflation.
Facts.
I try to describe it.
Facts. Printing extra money creates inflation, meaning that the value of your dollar, your buying power goes down the more that we print money in order to pay off bills that we don't have anything to back it by. Printing money is the thing that creates inflation. It's not tariffs. Thank you. Somebody that actually understands how money works. Printing money is what creates inflation. That means that your buying power, and you don't get raises to be commensurate with your buying power, which is one of the ways that they keep you poor. They tax you to death, and then they keep you poor because your buying power. Remember when Kamala Harris was saying, oh, I'm building 3 million new homes and all of this stuff? They didn't say we was going to get rid of the things that was causing for us to have high costs and can't afford homes in the first place. They didn't solve for the problem. They said that we was going to put a Band-Aid over the solution. It's not that we don't have enough homes for people to be able to buy. It's that you don't have the ability to buy it because you have an affordability crisis. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. That is the problem. If people don't understand how money works, then what makes you think that we can have these conversations with them?
We all had $1 trillion, and that's all the money that was there. Okay? And your shoes had a tariff, and my shoes didn't. Then my shoes would just be cheaper than yours. But that's not inflation. Whereas if I give everybody $2 trillion, both our shoes are more expensive right now, right away. So printing less money is less inflation. Okay? Tariffs make American-made goods cheaper. Imagine saying that. I saw someone complain this morning, a construction company was complaining this morning, and they said, now we have to buy American lumber and hire American people. And he was complaining, and I thought, now that's humor. Sure, you can't find in the world something cheaper, but you might have to hire an American. And you know what? If you have to pay him a little more, that's what President Trump is all about.
And you know what's so funny about that? You know what's so funny about that? With all of these companies, think about it. For all of my Democrats and my liberals that's in the chat right now when we're having this conversation, think about it from this lens. For years, y'all have leaned into the idea that we need to be paying a fair wage and we need to make sure that we raise up the standard of living. And y'all been protesting for $15 and $20 and $25 an hour at fast food joints. And you saying that every American worker deserves a livable wage. Well, isn't that what we're doing by naturally bringing American jobs back to the United States of America and forcing business owners and companies to then pay and use American workers as the standard instead of outsourcing and going to people outside of the United States of America for whatever it is that we need as workers, for what we need with goods? Now we're saying, hey, listen, you can't go over to somewhere else and do business with them. If you want products, you have to buy it from the lumber guy up the street. You got to hire the electrician that just got out of school to help build the building that you're building. You got to hire the developer that just got out of school to develop the application or to service your information and technology department. You got to make sure that you hire this person as your janitor. You got to hire this floor guy. You got to go over there and build this. I'm watching American workers literally in Detroit build buildings right now. So now we have to actually spend money with Americans, which also creates its own economy. What that does is it forces people, or it incentivizes people, to take advantage of a opportunity that is there. You have to fill a need. You have to fill a void. That's how you get rich. That's the whole purpose of starting a business, is that you see a need, you see a void that's not being filled. You create that dynamic, and then you offer that service for whatever it is that the market rate is paying for it. And if it's a scarce service, then that means that you can charge more. It means that you can charge more. So now you have to actually hire Americans. And then you create another economy, because now we start to create the curriculums and we send them to school because we need to create more technologically advanced workers, or we need better industries, or we need more service people. We need more plumbers. We need more HVAC. We need more electricians. We need more developers. We need all of these different people. We need regular jobs. We need normal jobs, more factories, more workers, more all of this. And you don't even have to compete with people that are doing it for cheap labor, for the jobs that are being created inside of the United States of America. Wait a minute. So you're saying that we don't have to fight against immigrants to subsidize this industry that's not going to be passed on to you as far as the savings, so that you can have cheaper products, but you'll have the jobs, right? Because I remember when we got out of high school, you used to be able to get out of high school and go and get a good job. And then if you wanted to further your education because you had greater aspirations, then you were able to go to school, right? But you had them both. And the American worker, the person that just got a regular job, they wasn't looked down upon. It didn't matter whether or not you had an education. You were still human because you had the ability to go and buy a home, buy a car, take care of your family, and have fun on the weekends. Now, we're basically complaining that we're creating the economy that allows for us to pay higher wages without artificially inflating it and forcing business owners to then subsidize the lifestyle of people that are going into these fast food jobs. Then that's how you close down. But then you also create another economy, because now people have more money. So when they have more money, they go and buy more products. They go and spend. When people have income that they don't have to use to be able to survive, then that's when they buy cars, they buy products, they go to the store, they can go and do this. Instead of them going over to this place, they can go over to your store and be able to buy your meat, or you can open up a grocery store. You do this. We used to be interdependent on each other, not outside sources. And we used to have our own infrastructure. We used to be interdependent. You had a guy that was your neighbor that was the butcher. You had a guy that was your neighbor that also worked at the bank. You had a guy, all banks was local. You had a guy that was your neighbor that also was the flooring guy. You had the guy that was your neighbor that was the electrician. It was another, the whole neighborhood. One guy was the doctor. Other guy was the dentist. Other guy was the lawyer. This person was this. This person was that. And the economy started to boom because we created industries based off of the fact that we were interdependent on each other to be successful. We want so bad to go and get some Temu products just so we can impress people and then and destroy our own economy so that our children didn't have anything. Finally got a president that said, okay, listen, if people want to do business with us, they're going to have to pay a tariff on it. But we need to be interdependent on ourselves. We shouldn't be enriching everybody else. And y'all mad at that when that's the thing that you asked for. We want smaller government, more money going to American taxpayer people pockets, less taxes, more industry, and then that creates the economy that then has us booming, and we want to be less dependent on other nations. Who thought, who would have knew that that was the thing that we really should have been doing in the first place? You see what I'm saying? I depend on you. You depend on me. When I needed my studio done, Carrie said, I know a person. I said, okay, cool. When I need to do find creators, I find people within my own social circle. When I need to hire somebody, I find people within my own social circle. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all gonna keep the money, all money in. We all we need. We don't need other people. If they want to do business with us, then they need to make sure that they get on board, not us get on board with them. I don't want to be European. I don't want to be anybody else. I don't want to hang out with y'all. I don't like. I can go and see y'all culture, but I'm coming home. Because all of my money, that's why I didn't move out of the city. Why would I go to another city that it didn't raise me and didn't pour into me? Why would I move to another city, right, that didn't raise me, didn't pour into me, and put money into their economy? I'm going to move to L.A. and continue to enrich people over there in L.A. I'm going to move to Miami. No, I can have something over in Miami. I can go and visit. I can go and take care of business. I can be in there. But I went to Detroit Public Schools. So when I became rich, I'm not going to be a brain drain. I'm going to pour back into my community, and I'm going to circulate that American dollar. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not about to take money outside of my city. I'm going to put money back into my city. I'm going to spend money in my city. I'm going to buy homes in my city. I'm going to fix up my city. I'm going to put money into the community centers. I'm going to put money in the pockets of the people that's in the city. If we had more people that had that mindset, instead of trying to run, I'm going to fix up what I have instead of running out there to try to be like everybody else, and I'm going to build up what I have, then we'd be way, way, way more successful. That is the key. That is the key to your communities. That is the key to your economy. That is the key to America. And Trump is giving you the blueprint and you're rejecting it. You're rejecting it. I was talking to Jason Wilson the other day and I said, Jason, I said, everybody always be giving us crap because neither me or you want to move from Detroit. He said, why would I move from Detroit? He said, I love my city. I love the people in it. I'd rather pour into it and make it great than to go out, go over somewhere else and try to, you know what I'm saying? If we don't like the politicians, then we're going to get them out of there and we're going to get new ones. If we don't want the business, we don't like the business climate, then we're going to get it out. We're going to build our own infrastructure. If we don't like the housing over there, then we're going to put our own money together. And I'm not going to beg nobody either. I'm not going to come with no community fund. I'm not going to ask people to donate. I'm going to just put my own money up. And then other people are going to be like, you know what? Let me clean up my lawn because he over here doing what he's doing. Not leaving. We right here. We right here. That's how I look at it.